This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome in to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. On today's episode, I sit down with the executive director of the Partnership for Rhode Island, Tom Giordano. And welcoming all of you in here on this beautiful Tuesday morning. And you're probably wondering, well, what is the Partnership for Rhode Island? We are going to find out together here in this episode, and also specifically what the partnership has done to address the obviously major critical issue surrounding the Providence public school system. So we're going to dig into that area and beyond, this coming on the heels of last night's State of the City address at City Hall from Mayor Lorza. I was in attendance, and most of the speech was focused on a concept, the new Providence, that the mayor put forth, really trying to celebrate some of the advancements that the city has made in terms of safety and security, in terms of green and park space, in terms of bike lanes and mobility questions. The mayor went so far as to say that in the new Providence, cars are no longer king. So really interesting stuff. They're obviously addressing the school challenges and really making the case that in confronting the teachers union now 2 years ago, Jorge Lorza himself kind of setting the wheels in motion for the necessity to have some kind of major overhaul of the Providence public schools. He also touted some of the new technological and innovation advancements going on in the city, and specifically businesses like the Wexford Innovation Center and CIC Providence and Gotham Greens. After the speech, I caught up with Mayor Lorza and I asked him about access for the entire city to these new opportunities.
Mayor, you mentioned the Wexford building, Gotham Greens, some of these exciting parts of Providence.
Yeah.
How did those projects connect to the city at large? Some people who might feel left out of some of those new ideas that are coming to the city from a geographic perspective or from an access perspective.
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know what? It begins with, you know, when I was young here in the city, no one would come to downtown, right? No one in their right mind, you know, would be down here during off hours. Now it's different. People come down for PVD Fest. They come down for the bars, for the restaurants. They come down because it's vibrant here. And there's a sense that this is our downtown now. It's not downtown versus the rest of the city. We're all a part of this. And so when I think about the investments that we're making in infrastructure here, when I think about the programming at CIC, when I think about the investments in transportation here, these are transportations that everyone can be a part of. So, you know, certainly we want to build our city and build it in a way that our residents are the main beneficiaries of it, and we can share the space with residents and visitors. That's what this new Providence is about. You know, it's a far cry from the Providence that existed when I was here, but our residents are finally seeing downtown as a place where they can spend time and feel comfortable bringing their families.
So the mobility stuff, for lack of a better way of putting it, factors in. Bike lanes, access in general.
That's right. So you're 100% right. The mobility, but also the programming, making sure that, you know, there's also things that people want to come downtown for. And you combine those two things and you get a sense that people feel a connection to downtown that they haven't in the past. So it's exciting to see that come together.
And of course, we touch on some of the key issues surrounding general access and education in Providence and beyond with Tom Giordano coming up in just a few moments here on the Bartholomew Town Podcast. Support for the Bartholomew Town Podcast comes from Newport Vineyards, featuring Taproot Brewing Company.
Hi, my name is Kevin Beecham. I'm the head brewer here at Taproot Brewing Company in Middletown, Rhode Island. Started basically home brewing when I was 19 years old in my parents' kitchen, just messing around with different flavor profiles and ingredients. Pretty new to the state of Rhode Island and new to Newport especially, but really love it out here. It's a pretty awesome experience and really great to work with local producers and farmers, and in a small setting like Taproot Brewing where we can do, you know, a lot of customized, unique recipes. So it's been a lot of fun.
Discover more at NewportVineyards.com. All right, let's get right into it with just an overview of what is the Partnership for Rhode Island. Can you kind of explain just the 36,000 foot view for the listeners out there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Partnership for Rhode Island is a CEO roundtable of the CEOs and executives of 12 of the largest employers in the state. So we have the CEOs of Amica, Bank of America, Brown, Citizens, CVS, Electric Boat, FM Global, Gilbain, Hasbro, IGT, Providence Equity, and the Rhode Island Foundation.
Yeah, so sort of a who's who of much of the corporate culture here in the state and a lot of institutions as well. You think of Amica, obviously, off the top of my head. Is CVS on there?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, major drivers. What's the work? What are sort of the main focuses of what you do?
Yeah, so we got together about 3 years ago to continue the state's great trajectory, right? Unemployment was going down, jobs were growing, each of the companies were hiring and have hired each year. We got together to really focus on issues that are fundamental to the economic success of Rhode Island: K-12 education, workforce development, infrastructure, and business attraction, our top four priorities.
Yeah, we've talked about that on this podcast endlessly. Sometimes,
yeah, you sure have.
Oftentimes throwing climate and how that impacts things. But yeah, it's like a wheel that if anything gets off, it's like a blown tire all of a sudden.
Yeah, and on the positive side, I think of business attraction as our wraparound issue, because you get K-12 workforce and infrastructure right, you don't have to attract businesses.
Right.
People are going to come here, and the businesses that are here are going to grow. But we are active on all four and kind of running with all cylinders going. So
right.
It's good.
And a recent Boston Globe piece on Brown University trying to attract faculty, describing, I think it was good. Paxton said, they got to live in Greenwich or Barrington was the actual quote, meaning East Greenwich or Barrington. If someone's going to come and work at Brown, that's coming from an impression of the public school system in
correct.
Providence.
And the impression of it is not always right,
sure.
Right? But we hear it all the time. And the CEOs have said to me on numerous occasions, you get to the final stage of interviewing and trying to recruit someone at a senior management level, and oh, wait, I need 45 grand more to go to private school. Right. Not exactly the case, right? You don't have to do that. But the perception of the schools here, especially in Providence, is a real hurdle for attracting top talent and top companies to come.
Absolutely. So even let's stay with Providence for a moment, just thinking in terms of, this Johns Hopkins report and all the movement towards revitalizing the schools, it seems. The corporate community is a major player in that. And their stakeholders, it's hand in hand.
We're completely supportive of it, right? The business community is activated and engaged. The first thing that the new commissioner, when she came into town, she asked our group if we'd be interested in helping really do a deep dive in the district. So we commissioned the Johns Hopkins report, worked with them to make sure that there were no hurdles in their way for them to do a real and honest assessment of what the district is. And we've all read it. It is depressing. It is mind-boggling. And I have global CEOs who called me from overseas to say, I'm glad the report's done. We were happy to commission it, but can you believe these results?
Right.
We need to really do something here. And we've been happy to engage since. And outside of the 12 companies I represent, I've found an enormous willingness for holding hands, going together, and rowing in the same direction to help fix the schools.
Right. That's what it's going to take. I feel like a lot of the conversation in Rhode Island outside of the quote-unquote bubble or the inside baseball would suggest that there's just a general apathetic tone in the state at all levels, government, business, citizens, when in reality there are major players engaged in this work every day. It's just that you don't see it broadcasted regularly.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a 3-hour board meeting a couple weeks ago where we talked about K-12 education almost the entire time. These are, like I said, global CEOs bouncing around the country and the world for their own businesses, but invested and engaged in what happens here, because the K-12 system is everything.
Yeah, got to keep it moving. And that's statewide as well, of course.
Correct.
It's not just a Providence conversation. Even any Greenwich, Barrington, it's a tired phrase now I barely like to use anymore. The old bottom 10%, if Rhode Island were a district, it would be in the bottom 10% of Massachusetts, so as a whole.
Yeah. And we're tackling, but you have to give it to the commissioner, right? And she's gotten some bad rap for focusing too much on Providence. Providence is 17% of the kids in the state. Go to those schools.
Right.
You got to start there. And it's an opportunity. It's a real opportunity to change it and to show what's possible. And you have a mayor who has been a great partner, a governor who is as aggressive as she can be in making this happen. And the business community is here to help.
Absolutely. That's what it's going to take, true partnership. Let's talk about the report. Go back to the Johns Hopkins report and then fast forward to today. What was that process like for you as you commissioned it and funded it? I mean, that's a major stake in the future of Rhode Island right there.
Yeah.
That's a big role.
It was a big role. And for $50,000, right, we may have helped catalyze a generational change. So we're very proud of that. And I'm proud of the job that Johns Hopkins did. I'm proud of the work that the commissioner, Ride, the district, the mayor's office, by letting them do their job and getting a real and honest assessment of where the district was. And we've seen the report. The platform's burning, right? There's a lot of work to do. And we were happy to help do it. Since then, we commissioned the Ernst & Young financial analysis on the district, which just makes sense for business executives, right? You're going to buy a company. What do you want to do? First thing you do after a takeover is you understand their finances in and out. And I think that report will show that there are some real inefficiencies, but some real opportunities to spend the money and achieve our mission of world-class education for every student in Rhode Island and in Providence specifically.
Yeah, it's like just reevaluating the flow of money and, you know, you think about just making anything more efficient, whether it's Carl Wadenstein and that approach or just broadly being more fiscally conservative or careful. That seems like a challenge statewide that, you know, it may just be hearsay and people say, well, this state big budget, this, that, and the other. But there are probably areas to improve efficiencies. It doesn't mean cutting budgets either.
There's enough money in the system to succeed. I think that's pretty clear. But finding efficiencies and focusing spending on mission-driven activities, right?
Yeah.
We have an English language learner growth in the city that is tremendous, right? The budget needs to reflect that. Right? It's winter, so our heat bill goes up. So we need to reflect in our house, right, our budgetary changes to affect the atmospheric changes. Right.
Or freeze.
Exactly right. So we are, I think Ernst & Young has pointed out some great ways that the Providence Public School District can be more efficient and help drive student success.
Let's move on to Donors Choose and that program.
Donors Choose, what a fun day that was. We were connected with DonorsChoose.org, which is a GoFundMe for teachers, except they don't get cash at the end. They get the supplies they wanted. So Donors Choose controls the supply chain. And if you go on DonorsChoose.org and you say, I want a bookshelf, you don't get $100 for a bookshelf, you get a bookshelf, right?
Gotcha, yeah.
So they, and what a fantastic organization. We were approached by Donors Choose. We got in conversation with Donors Choose and said, we want to support statewide every teacher in this state. We co-funded that platform with Teresa Goh, a Brown board member and a board member of Donors Choose, fantastically generous woman. And we took off the board, cleared the entire state of projects for Donors Choose, affecting over 27,000 students across the state.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was a fun one. Yeah.
So there it is right there. You know, again, getting inside of the actual issue and managing it.
Yeah, and what Donors Choose did, right, is tell the teachers, remind the teachers that the business community supports them. We understand they have the hardest job imaginable. And if this made a few teachers' job easier for this semester or this year, that was great. But we did it the week of the takeover purposefully to say, this state's behind you, the business community's behind you, and teachers, we're here to help. They want to succeed. Our students need to succeed. And we're, you know, let's all stay on the same team.
Yeah, optics matter a lot, you know. There were people who were pitching, you know, kind of small scale projects to help inside classrooms, particularly in Providence. You hear that sometimes. I'll give $500 or $1,000 in service. Sometimes that comes across as more of an advertising, guerrilla advertising campaign, even if the intentions are good. The way that the partnership operates, it's in an anonymous manner for the most part.
Yeah, you know? we're interested in doing a few things well and doing it quietly.
Yeah.
You know, it's taken 3 years for us to do any real press on ourselves and talk about the work that we've done. But now's the time to do it because we want the teachers and the students, the parents know that the business community is behind the takeover in Providence and the statewide generational change that needs to happen to make this state have a great public education.
Yeah, and it's also good from those on the outside that are observing Rhode Island and sort of assessing the climates, you know, and understanding that there is a dynamic business climate here that have major players that are making investments. I think that says a lot about the state.
Yeah.
We forget that sometimes.
Absolutely. And, you know, Donors Choose was just one example, right? We co-funded with the Rhode Island Foundation the long-term education planning group, right? So this is a group that just had its summit a couple weeks ago, where the union leaders, the state leaders, business leaders, charter leaders, everyone got in a room. We spent about 40 hours together in a room over the last year coming up with a vision for the future of education in Rhode Island. And Neil Steinberg, to his credit, got everyone to leave their stripes at the door and come in to talk about student success.
Yeah.
And we're proud to fund that, which is a 10-year plan, right? We were also proud to fund a donor's choose, which is a little bit of a one-off, right? It doesn't solve any big,
right,
you know,
esoteric problems.
Right, but it does help.
Hey, a bookshelf makes a huge difference,
you know,
right?
That helps, but also staying the course and staying focused on a 10-year plan to improve scores statewide is the important part. And if there's one-offs here and there with donors choose or any other group like it, we think that we want to be a part of this big picture, long-term vision for success for students in the state.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of Twitter. I wasn't inside of that, but I was certainly monitoring it on Twitter, and I saw a lot of people that I never thought I'd see talking about regionalization and just things that veered outside of people's comfort zones.
Yeah.
That whether right or wrong or undecided right now, it's just good to have that conversation going, like you say, between the stakeholders that oftentimes seem like combatants
right.
from the outside. Let's talk about your vision for Rhode Island personally. What do you see as the future of the state? Because there's kind of two competing narratives right now. One is Providence is going to go bankrupt. Warwick's going to go bankrupt. Somehow the soccer team's not going to work out in Pawtucket and we're all doomed. And then the other side is that we've got a lot of people with great minds making great investments here. We're going to solve these major challenges and this is going to be one of the best places to live in the world.
I'll tell you what. I knew I wanted this job when I had to interview over 14 hours with 7 CEOs across states, right? I had to go to where they were because of their schedules. Every time I interviewed with a different or another, now my board member, right? I knew I wanted this job. Why? Because they were invested in what's happening here. This state is not going anywhere in a negative direction.
Yeah.
Not with the business leaders we have here, not with the statewide leaders that we have here, not with a commissioner that has this kind of energy and backing. You've seen it. You've seen what the parents and the students said about the Hopkins report. They want to be heard. Education's heading in the right direction. And I'll tell you what, business, workforce development, infrastructure, the things that we work on, I feel they're all heading in the right direction. And hopefully we're playing a little bit of a part in that.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Remember, a great way that you can support the pod is to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you're listening right now, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, or BartholomewTown.com or RIPodcast.com. Subscribe, rate, and review. It helps support the program, keep us moving forward. Rhode Island's podcast of record, the Bartholomew Town Podcast, made possible by all of you, the listeners. Yeehaw. Absolutely. Yeah, because I'm sick of the naysayers as well. It's getting old. For a while, when I could kind of deal with it and appreciate it and sort of understand, well, that's a Rhode Island thing. You know, there's always there's an expression, this state, that I would always hear growing up around here. Oh, this state, for whatever reason. You'd hear it from my dad who was in the union. You'd hear it from my uncle who was in small business, you know, for all over the place. And so there's just this poisonous attitude that needs to get broken through, and luckily you're doing that.
Well, we're hoping. We're hoping we can play a role in that. But I think this state's heading in a great direction.
Yeah.
The companies are all hiring, right?
Yeah.
Actually, the problem is they want to hire more. So we need to do more on workforce development, right? Infrastructure, we're talking about faster trains to Boston. Why? Because there's more development and more desire for people to live here and commute up or live there and commute down. Their business attraction, I need to, you know, kind of handle my inbox when it comes to business attraction. And it's this company's interested in talking. Hey, can you make a connection here? Hey, can you make a phone call? Can this board member of yours call this board member of this company? There is a constant buzz about things growing, coming to Rhode Island, changing in a positive direction. And we couldn't be more excited.
How do you feel about the changes in population size and scope? Does that reflect, we'll see obviously once the census is completed, but it looks like we're going to lose a congressperson here. How does that factor into any of your work?
You know, I sit on the census, the complete count committee. The census is an enormously important task that everyone knows about, but very few understand, much less understand the importance of. I think general population trends, right, are going south and southwest. The member of Congress, I hope we keep both. If we're not able to, I think that'll be a big loss, but almost one that was just bound to happen, right? Destined. It's happened in New York. It's happening elsewhere. The population trends, we're seeing it, and this goes back to the education, right? What is, you know, a majority-minority student body in Providence, a majority-white workforce that works their butt off to do this. But our next generation of teacher, our next generation of employee looks different than the generation that's retiring right now. And that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as we're educating everyone and everyone's ready for the task, right? Let's go. You know, CCRI has done a great job with this. Talk about a diverse student body, especially through the Promise program. We are working with CCRI in a number of ways, hopefully in some exciting things we can announce next year, to better link the pipeline from CCRI to work-based learning to internships to employment, because that's the future, and that's the future workforce of the Rhode Island.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. Yeah, I was at last night before the storm. There really didn't end up being much of a storm. We're here today taping. It wasn't like we were snowed out, but I was downtown and by the Turk's Head building, and there was no one there. It was just like middle of the night, and I was just staring at it. I was like, man, to think back to the days when that arena, how many thousands of people saw that building and walked by it going to work or whatever it was downtown, the hustle and bustle of a true downtown. There was a Chinatown down, you know, and that's just part of the evolution. It's not so much longing for downtown to be busy again, but I certainly long for that. Maybe it's not a population reflecting the population. I guess it's just more of an engaged and concentration of engaged people feeling good about their days that I long for.
Well, I'll say this, two examples. Start with, I went to college here, right?
Yep.
I graduated PC in 04, and we'd go to concerts at Lupo's. You're a music guy. We'd go to Compos at Lupo's all the time. Fantastic shows, right? For the old location.
Absolutely,
and then the
yeah.
newer location. But you got out of Dodge as soon as you could, right after the show, right? You didn't stick around for a beer, right? You got out of Dodge. Fast forward that to what happened this past week with the Rhode Island Foundation. 450 people in the convention center two Saturdays before Christmas. Talking about education, right? Union leaders, business leaders, the commissioner, the governor, the Senate president, talking about how we can better serve education. So you want to talk about rebuilding a community. You had a downtown where my over 4 years, my impression of it was a tough place to go at night, right?
Yeah.
It is the center of community. So a couple blocks from where you were, but I think we're heading in the right direction.
No, I totally agree. My parents, well, my mom, she would let me go to shows in New York or Boston, you know, drive there. But if I went, this is like when I'm 15, I'd always have to have a chaperone or something to go to the Met or whatever it was. Somehow Providence was this, you know, mysteriously dangerous place.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't necessarily entirely true.
Doesn't feel like that now.
No, not at all. That's another thing, too. People saying the city's unsafe and this, that, and the other. I mean, one, it probably is just more of a reflection of xenophobia or something like that. Than anything, you know. But that's another dangerous thing, I think, to beat back on, is this constant push that somehow coming to Providence or Woonsocket, someone's going to jump out from behind, you know, a speed camera and mug you. You know,
see,
I mean?
I don't feel that at all. My kid went to pre-K in the middle of downtown, and they walked around downtown literally every day.
Yep.
And we were thrilled that he had that opportunity, and he feels an ownership in Providence because of it.
Yeah.
No, I don't feel that at all, and I'll push back on anyone who says that Providence is heading in the wrong direction.
Same here.
Yep.
Especially on the phone lines, on the radio there. Holy Moses. All right, last 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Can you just kind of give me your – we're going into 2020, and looking at just – I don't know, broad goals for the state. Are there any areas that you think in a short, going back to that sort of short term type work. Anything that can be concentrated on that can make major improvements right now, whether it's bringing people together or actual projects, from your perspective.
From Providence schools, there's so much that's going to happen in 2020, right? And we've talked enough about that. I think the exciting projects that the partnership will be working on in 2020 will be workforce. We are going to better link employers with folks in the K-12 system and in the higher ed system. And we are going to build a better pipeline for talent to have access to employers. You know, we participated in the Prepare RI internship program and helped fund that. Fantastic, fantastic start, that program. So 2.5 years in, 1,000 kids in internships, you know, kids that just drove by Citizens Bank, Citizens Plaza, the headquarters, yep, now get an opportunity to go in and work there in the summer. We want to expand programs like that to give everyone an opportunity to understand the power of the companies that are here, and for the companies to really have access to the talent that they want and need to continue to grow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Really, really exciting. When I bring people here, well, I don't bring them here. When they come here from friends of mine from outside New York, my wife isn't from Rhode Island. She's not even from the U.S. And that's the first thing that they assess of Providence or Newport or wherever, is connecting the entire community to the institutions that have the most potential to give opportunities.
Yeah, and it's not just Brown, right? And
definitely,
and Chris, and Chris Paxson's on my board, and she is a fantastic leader, national leader on this, internationally. But there are programs at CCRI that kids can't get hired fast enough out of.
That's right, yeah.
You know, give you a one-off because it's worth it. CCRI emailed me and said, we have 4 computer science students who are looking for a summer internship. It's required as part of their, you know, just to finish the degree. Can you help? Can you help find? We just need 4 more. They're so hireable. But for some reason, we haven't been able to get in. I had 4 companies fighting over them in 2 days. They were all hired. Probably drove the price up a little bit. Good for them, right? Good for them.
I mean, we're seeing in baseball today.
Exactly right. But I'm telling you, there are the talent coming out of the universities is ready. The companies are ready to hire. We're just going to help connect them a little bit better.
As always, a pleasure to spend some time together here on the podcast. Remember, there's over 160 episodes waiting for you wherever you get your pods, or ripodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Bill Bartholomew. We'll talk soon.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.